Happy 250th birthday, America. I've decided to spend this semi-quincentennial as our founding fathers would have wanted me to, checking out the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I know I can find everything from ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats and stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage to best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging storage, and those signature Bobopedic seats. Because nothing is more American than a sofa that's a bed and a library and a closet. So, if you want to join me in decking out your house with the finest affordable furniture this 4th of July, why not stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan, Portland sports leader.
I have tiny legs and I'm fat.
Happy Monday, everybody. Hope your 4th of July weekend was enjoyable, low-key, super exciting. Hope you got lit or you lit fireworks. I'm back from Extravaganza in New York. It was crazy. I had to go to a wedding over the weekend. Really busy travel time for me from missing Thursday's show. I couldn't really say why I was missing Thursday's show, but I had to fly to New York this weekend. I had a wedding, and then I had to fly back in time for the show. I got back just in the nick of time, but it was great to see two people that are really important in my life get married at Madison Square Garden, and it felt like an honor and a privilege to be there. I got to sit next to Dean Blandino, and not very far away from old Andy Reid. It was a hell of a wedding to be at. If you were not invited to the Travis Kelce Taylor Swift wedding, reevaluate your life, because seemingly anybody that watches or is a part of football was invited to the wedding.
Yeah, it was a spectacle.
Were they supposed to hit a quota of Phil Madison Square Garden? Why is Dean Blandino at Taylor Swift's wedding?
I don't know.
There's not
a lot of
chance
question marks about what's
Travis Kelce is close with Dean Blandino. What are we doing?
Yeah, I can't wait for more photos of the wedding itself to get leaked out, because I would really want to see what that castle in there looked like. And I want to see Adam Sandler in between Travis and Taylor.
Doing
the ceremony.
That would have been enjoyable. I would have enjoyed that. But when I started seeing photos of people that were there, I'm like, I know that Travis Kelce's been a football player for a long time. I understand it's a community, right? It's a culture. It's everything. Does Taylor Swift know who Dean Blandino is?
I don't think so.
You're losing me with Dean Blandino. That makes me think you got a quota, and MSG folks were like, you can have MSG, but we need a bare minimum of 12,488 people at your wedding. No, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. Everybody involved with the NFL ever will be involved. Will be invited to our wedding.
Yeah,
that's what that told me, because Dean Blandino should not be at Taylor Swift's wedding. That's just a take I'm going to forever live on. A loaded second hour of the radio program. It's good to be back. Good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. I know the first Monday after the holiday weekend, not always the most enjoyable, but at least the weather is nice. A lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. We're going to do what we call a Blazer double dipping of the chip. So we're going to talk Blazers here. I'm going to put a poll question up. I got to figure out how to word this. And then at 9 a.m. or 9:05 to be exact, we're going to bring on Eric Gunderson, and we'll get his thoughts on the Blazers offseason, the big Ja Morant swing, as we continue to sit here on July the 6th. And if we're not going to get LeBron James assigning for the mid-level with the Blazers, which you're welcome to come to Portland, LeBron. A lot of people are wondering, what's next? Jaylen Brown is traded for what people view as almost nothing in the grand scheme of things. And then it starts an analytics conversation. It starts a value conversation. It became like 4 to 5 different, it feels like, narrative-based things that people were arguing about. And now Jaylen Brown is a 76er, and he's not a Portland Trailblazer. At one point in time, Brandon, we were the favorite to land Jaylen Brown. And I believe Philly was tied for the worst odds at one point in time in the league to land Jaylen Brown. So if the odds mean anything to you, may God have mercy on your soul. Don't read into odds. You know what the odds are saying about us right now? The odds are saying that we are the favorites to land Zach LaVine. And to that, I would just say maybe that'll be true. Maybe we'll randomly get a notification during the radio program, and some of what we talk about right now will have aged like warm milk. Why would we get Zach LaVine? He opted into his contract. I think he has a one-year – go look at what the deal was. But he opted into the one-year – I think it was $49 or $50 million. Why would we do that? And what do we think we're giving Sacramento? So, like, I think that's the thing about the offseason. We sit here today. It's July the 6th. They traded Jeremy Grant and Chris Murray for Ja Morant. Mind blown. Everybody's mind's blown. People around the team had no idea. So you can imagine people not around the team, how much more they were blown away, right? Ja Morant into the fold. Well, surely this has to spark another move. I mean, what are you going to have, 4 point guards? 5 guards in total with Shaden? Come on, that doesn't make any sense. Well, we sit here on July the 6th, and right now the Blazers are still sitting there saying, hold my beer. Because they have not made another move. Now, it feels like they're going to make another move. It's just to what degree would you argue the move is? Is it a swing for Trey Murphy? Well, there's not a lot of noise there. And you could say, well, Sprague, the Blazers aren't a noisy team. So them operating on the quiet is kind of the norm. Agree. That goes back to Neil. That's not just a Joe Cronin thing. Neil O'Shea operated on the quiet. Even when Woj knew about it, he didn't leak it ahead of time. It just Woj broke it. That was how that operated. But we're sitting here today on July the 6th, not having seen another move so far. And so I continue to be in the wait and see mode. But I was texting with people over the weekend, just like, is this really going to be it? And we'll talk with Eric Gunderson about this. Like, are we really just going to add a retread forward that we say, oh, yeah, they're fine. They're a role guy at best, like if they're even playing a good game. And this is what the roster is. So we had Jason Quick on last week. I know you guys repurposed some of the audio just as a refresher, because 4 point guards being on a team seemed a little weird, a little out of sorts for what the Blazers were wanting to do. And he said this about the Blazers and their 4 point guards.
I really think they're going to go with the 4 guards. And I don't think that having those 4 guards is sustainable for a long period of time. I just think it's kind of a disservice to all 4 of them, because eventually someone's going to be like, man, I want some more playing time.
Right, you know? Right. And that's where we sit today, is they are so far telling you they want the 4 point guard thing. Now, context matters. So 7:08 a.m., you say all this. It's like, hey, by 9:30, Blazers made a trade. Trey Murphy involving fill in the blank and then picks, right? But there's a lot of people that, you know, cover and talk about this team. I if you pressed them off or even on, depending on what they say, they're not feeling like that move is happening. That, like, legitimately signing Matisse Thybulle could be their move. Now, maybe it's not Matisse. I'm just pulling a name out. Nobody loves bringing back their own players quite like Portland. If that's the move, if it is indeed a player like that, what are you to make of the offseason? How bizarre it's been, how out of left field it feels like it is. Like, what are you to make of the offseason if they just sign nondescript, guy who fills void, wing player that really, in the grand scheme, is not changing your circumstance in any way? It's maybe just giving you a little more roster balance and depth at best, but it's not really changing your circumstance in the West unless Ja and company can overperform what I think many people think they're going to be. Like, what would you think if that is the Blazer offseason? If there is not indeed another decent size move, Trey Murphy, I would say, good size move, right? Zach LaVine, boy, we'd have an interesting conversation about Zach LaVine. What kind of player is he to people? He's never been viewed as a certain caliber player, mainly because of the destinations he's played at have not been good when he's been there. Like, I don't know where people would be at on Zach LaVine. I think it'd be a very polarizing conversation. But if it is a Matisse Thybulle, how are we going to grade what the offseason truly is?
Yeah. It's going to be hard to feel optimistic about it. It's going to feel like a lot of question marks and a lot of confusion. I think there is a slight belief that Ja Morant will be who he used to be and that this team will be a little more dynamic in that regard.
Yeah, more play creators, shot creators.
Yeah, a lot of game.
Go to the cup guys.
Kind of game-changing type of players.
But you know what's good to have around guys who go to the cup? these guys.
We got shooters! We got shooters! Let's go!
And right now, it doesn't feel like we got a whole lot of shooters. I mean, I don't know if Rui Hachimura is coming on down for the mid-level, if they're even going to go that direction.
Right.
Reportedly, the Lakers have told him he's not coming back, and he hasn't signed yet. I actually wonder if Rui Hachimura is kind of waiting on LeBron a little bit. Now, I'm just speculating. That's just my 2 cents thrown out. He might be one of those guys, like, you know, wherever James Jones was usually where LeBron was.
Right.
I wonder if Rui's like, can I just get a little more money than James Jones was signing for, and I'll just continue to feast off of the looks you give me. But I am wondering, like, is a Rui Hachimura in play? Shot 4 threes a game. Last 3 years, he shot 40% from three on 3.8 or 3.7, 4.2, and 3.9 3 points a game. Attempts per game. I'd love to see that be up to 5 to 6 because I think they need that kind of caliber player.
Yep.
It's going to go down as one of the more bizarre off seasons of my life if all they add is middle of the road 8th, 9th, 10th guy off bench to fill roster void. Because right now, I mean, you go look at the 76ers, right, who made the Jaylen Brown trade. Well, they're becoming Blazers East. They've kind of been that. They added, I mentioned Jabari Walker was a name that the Blazers drafted not that long ago. He was in Philadelphia. I mentioned Wadford earlier. He was in Philadelphia very briefly. They've just signed Ant Simons to a 2-year, $12 million deal. Great deal. You know who else they signed? Caleb Love, 2-way deal. The Philadelphia 76ers really want to be Blazers East, but they want to fill out their roster with a big, a wing, another wing, and a killer point guard. They have like gone about doing it maybe slightly better than us on paper, but just one of the more bizarre off seasons of my lifetime. If their move is we've signed wing that you don't think highly of, and now we're good. We've signed guy to minimum contract, now we're good. Because the Ja, Drew, Dame, Scoot thing, I haven't texted a single person who hasn't also shared the same. It's a bizarre roster fit. And look, it's one thing to say you want value in a trade, right? The Blazers are eyeing that. It's one thing to say that. That's a good value trade for the Jeremy, Chris Murray for Ja thing. I get it just in a trade vacuum. But when you're evaluating the roster itself, it's just such an interesting pivot of philosophy, is it not? Like, if I would have told you 2 years ago, Joe Cronin, who at his press conference talks about getting bigger and longer, the league is only growing, right? You're seeing San Antonio, you're seeing Oklahoma City. They already got to the conference finals, and you're seeing both of those two teams this offseason add what? Height. They've gotten taller. San Antonio drafted two bigs. Oklahoma City brought in Mara from Michigan. Like, they are valuing height and size. And the Blazers looked at everything happening after they were eliminated, and they were like, you know what we need? A lot of guards. We're going guard heavy. We're going 6'2 Dame, 6'3 Drew, 6'2 Scoot, 6 foot, 168-pound Ja, and then we're going to throw Shaden at you on any given moment. Like, and that was their response to all of it. And it's just bizarre that if 2 years ago I told you Jaylen Brown is available for the Blazers, and look, you can argue about value and contracts. I think the league is telling us something right now. And I think a lot of people are kind of hinting at it, picking it up and discussing it. But I think the league is absolutely telling everybody something right now about the financial aspect of salary cap stuff and apron stuff. But 2 years ago, I tell you, Jaylen Brown is available. I think everybody and their mom here is saying, like, Joe Cronin just told me it's about length, it's about wings, it's about being versatile. And you can feel however you feel about Jaylen Brown. He's certainly been a polarizing player, I think, in some regards the last couple days. But everybody is saying that we'd be trying the mix, especially if you said you had assets to play with. And that's the other part, too, is I keep coming back to they very well could flip the assets any given moment this summer. Trade deadline. Like, that's what it's going to be. If they don't make another sizable move or a move that's going to move the needle in any way, you're going to hear the spin locally is going to be, well, the trade deadline. They're going to see how it plays out. And the trade it. Okay, so now we're going to punt on the season.
Right.
Because the trade deadline's too late. You're not going to make, I think, a move that's going to shake up the whole West anyway. Not that you were with Jaylen Brown, I think, to win the West. But my point is, like, have you truly gotten better? Sometimes you just need to evaluate it from that perspective. Have you gotten better? And I think what's interesting is watching so far, you wanted to keep Donovan in two. They were untouchable, according to some reports. And I want to get to Blazer stuff in terms of how they viewed Jaylen. I don't know if I believe it fully, some of the reporting coming out, but very interesting where the Blazers chime in on the Jaylen Brown stuff. But also, like, you've gotten smaller and you've had less shooting. Like, I don't know, is Ja going to shoot 34% this year? I don't have a lot of evidence of that. Maybe he will. Maybe he'll shock everybody. Mike and Nora, according to Jason Quick's article, enamored with him at their get-together lunch where Ja drove 40 minutes and Mike Inouye drove 2 hours, and they met at a restaurant, and they had a great conversation, and he feels very encouraged. And now Mike Inouye is in L.A. to tell Jrue Holiday, hey, man, you're a big piece of what we're doing. That's great. Four point guards and not addressing your wing spot or your wing forward spot is – it's certainly a choice. And I'm sitting here on July the 6th, like, I'm still giving them that grace, that period of, like, figuring out what they want to do or who they want to go get. They operate very quietly. Maybe it'll be Trey Murphy, and voila, there we go. We've solved our problem. But if it is a run it back of a forward, and that's it, and now you go into your press conference, be a lot of questions from people about roster building and why is this the right direction, and is this really something you think you can go from a 7 seed in a loaded West? The Lakers might have gotten better. Time will tell.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas, I think, will be better just naturally with Kyrie coming back, and I think Cooper will get better. I think Utah is going to be more competitive. I don't know how much better they've got. You go down the laundry list of West teams. The only two teams I feel confident not better than Portland, like total confidence, Utah and New Orleans. Sacramento, excuse me, and New Orleans. That's it. Everybody else is a wild card. Phoenix maybe, but Phoenix we thought was going to be worse than us last year. They weren't. They were better on a record-wise. We just beat them in the play-in. Houston's interesting. I don't know what they're going to do with Kevin Durant. Like, there's a lot of questions, sure, but from just an on-paper standpoint, you got smaller, you got less defensive, and you still have your shooting problems. As we sit today, July the 6th, that's an issue going into the season next year, where they still have time to build it out. But right now, it's like, are we going to do anything else? Like, anything of note? Because signing Matisse Thybulle, to me, doesn't do anything for you. I love Matisse Thybulle. Seems like a great dude. But how much are we counting on Matisse Thybulle? You know what I mean? So, as we sit today, Brandon, I find the roster decisions fascinating. The pivot as an organization. And just where it all sits today on the 6th of July, going forward, like, okay, what's next?
Yeah, I'm curious how much of an influence Micah is to these decisions. I don't know if, because you think with a new coach and a new philosophy and maybe a new style that they're trying to adapt to him.
Well, did you read the quick piece?
I did, yeah.
So he has a blurb in there. He basically was like, Micah Norrie's already redone the playbook.
Right.
Like, he's already changing the offense according to what they just got roster-wise.
Right.
I guess in that way, I'd say I don't think he's been super heavy.
So he's adjusting
involved
to these moves is what you're saying.
Yeah. More so it feels like than too. Them being collaborative. And I mean, he's seemingly on a one-year deal, right? Like,
yeah.
That's kind of the big buzz with his contract. So, and you could just say, well, they really did the contract to keep him on the cheap. Yeah, certainly. That wouldn't shock me at all if he's here for the full 3 years. But according to that report, he had to rechange how they're going to run things, right? And he's excited about the challenge. I think he's somebody excited about his first go-around as a coach. Like, he's jonesing for this opportunity. But us on the outside looking in, we're sitting here going, how do you make the minutes work Because right now we're sitting in this weird spot of like five guards? Five?
Yeah, it feels very experimental, which makes a lot of
That's
fans,
a weird thing to do,
yeah,
isn't
you
it?
Don't do that a
we're
lot
doing
in the
experimental
NBA.
Stuff?
We're going to see if this works or not. Yeah, you don't see that a lot in the NBA. So that's kind of unnerving. I think Matisse will help with the defense because that's kind of his specialty is defensively, in my opinion. He's not much of a shooter. That's kind of, at least from what I watched last season, that's kind of where his impact is.
But if
is
your
on the
shooting's
defensive
not
end.
Great, like that's the thing I'll push back on. I remember people had gotten to a fit about Derrick Jones Jr. years ago. Terry Stotts wasn't playing him. And he was point blank asked, he's like, he's shooting 30%. You're playing 4-on-5. And people were like, oh my God. Like, yeah, he's good defensively. Is he so stellar that he has to play high level minutes? If no. Matisse plays 16 minutes or 13 minutes, but he's shooting 31%.
It's not doing a whole lot.
Your defense doesn't matter a whole lot to me, man.
Yeah.
They need offense. I said this last year. I'll say it again. They need offense. And you can now say, well, there you go, Sprague. You got offense. Ja Morant, offense. Yeah,
but you need
smaller.
Offense that spreads around the court, not just in the backcourt, not just behind the three-point line. Like, you need guys that can hit mid-range and
I think that's where
play
I'm at.
In the post as well.
It's just, yeah. I got so many questions right now, and we're still sitting in limbo of, like, what else is going to be happening? So where are your thoughts right now as it sits today? The Blazers in their offseason, Ja Morant being their big move of the offseason, 503-864-6326. An element of it I want to get to and what the league is saying with the Jaylen Brown stuff. We'll get to that. We'll dive back into football and the World Cup at 8 a.m. Jake Zivin will be at 8:27. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. 727, 105.1 The Fan. Good morning. Happy July the 6th. Poll question is up. Your neighborhood restaurant group brings the fan poll question on Twitter every day. And dinner tonight, one of the five locations, Sandio's Big's Chicken, Reverend's Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, and Laurelhurst Market Steakhouse. The poll question is, if the Blazers just sign a wing to a vet minimum contract, will you be okay with their offseason? Yes. No. F no. Exclamation point.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of F no's.
Right now, F no is leading 44.4% of the votes. No is second, just barely behind F no. Maybe some people don't curse. Okay? I don't feel like I've ever heard you curse before.
I save my cursing for the golf course.
Do you? Are you out loud cursing or are you?
No, it's just internal. Sometimes if it's really bad, it'll slip out loud, but
really?
Mostly it's just muttering to myself.
You're mean to yourself on the golf course, huh?
A little bit. I expect perfection when I know it's not going to come.
Perfection?
Well, you just...
What the hell?
With each shot, I expect to execute what I'm trying to do. And
very
clearly, as a average golfer like most of us, I'm not.
Yeah, no. And no is now leading the vote, just jumped F no. And then yes is a pretty distant trailer of the three options at 20.8%. You can vote at Dirt and Sprague. There's your neighborhood restaurant group poll question of the day. We got a few others up as well, by the way. Should Marlins manager Clayton McCullough be loudly shamed for pulling a starting pitcher who had a perfect game through seven innings? Yes or no? Yes is blowing out no. I have questions for no people out there. Why would you vote no to that? Six outs away from a perfect game. That should be illegal. You should be fired from your job. And should U.S. soccer fans feel good about getting preferential treatment with FIFA, or feel bad, excuse me, about getting preferential treatment with FIFA, allowing Balogun to play against Belgium today? No, hell no, or yes. And hell no is overwhelmingly winning the poll question early because people are tired of not benefiting from the corruption of FIFA.
And there are also U.S. fans that want to win tonight.
Absolutely. There is, by the way, we'll get back into that at 8. There has been an appeal by Belgium. They've been granted. I have no idea when that's going to be announced as the ruling, if it already has been.
From my understanding, they just want an explanation of why this happened. And I don't know if that if part of it's going to be, well, you need to change it back.
Well, that's what I'm curious. Like, an appeal makes me think they could change it back.
Yeah.
But I have no
idea. I think they just simply want an explanation of how has this happened, which, understandably, that makes sense.
Yeah, I will have to wait and see. If that breaks during the show, we'll pass it along. We think it's going to.
I just don't see that being reversed that quickly.
We're going to have two reverses?
I don't.
We're going to have a snip, snap, snip, snap?
Yeah, you're going to have.
We got
have
a Michael Scott going on here?
You're going to have a Uno card on top of Uno card reversals. I don't know. I just feel like if you just went the way of, oh, we're going to suspend it, I can't see that just flipping right back and saying, oh, no, it's just kidding. We're not, or he's not going to play.
Yeah,
I just don't see that.
I want to get into it coming up at the top of the 8 a.m. hour because I'm generally pumped about tonight's match. I think the World Cup stuff's going to be great. We got golden boots. Who's your golden booter of the World Cup? I know it's the actual goalkeeping or the goal scoring count, but who has been the best golden boot to you? Is it Mbappe? Is it Messi? Is it Haaland? So we'll get into that stuff. But sticking with the Blazers stuff, because I'm already prepared for the Vetmin signing. I am. I think I've taken myself mentally to watch them go into the press conference and explain to me why this is the right decision with the roster. Why the 7-seed season is this is now the time to go 4-point guards and 5 guards with Shaden. Because even if you use the deadline excuse for Joe Cronin, oh, wait to the deadline. They're going to see how it plays out. Dude, You're punting a season. Like, it just is. It's too late in the season, the trade deadline. It's one thing to have a team of veterans that are good and ready to go, and then you add the piece. It's another to have this. And if you're at the trade deadline and you make a move, that means that your idea didn't work. And so, like, it's to me about, like, will they be worse? Will the West be better? I will just have a lot of questions, but also not be surprised. I think a lot of people should be telling themselves because, one, it sets up the idea that you get somebody you don't expect, makes you happier, and two, they're kind of telling you this is kind of the move. Are they not? Like, so the analytics conversation came out about Jaylen Brown. He goes to Philadelphia. I know everybody's talked about it. You guys have talked about it on the show. I wasn't here for Thursday's show, so I missed it, right? Without dwelling on the deal. Because I, like everybody else, saw the deal, and I thought it was fake. I sent it to a bunch of people, and I'm like, this was it? And I think what the league is telling you, genuinely, I think the league is telling you, we can't pay everybody, and we don't think we're going to get sponsorship TV revenue the way we once did locally, and we want nothing to do with the second apron, and we're not even really all in on the first, right? Teams are going to pay the first apron stuff, but you're seeing a lot of teams make moves that financially, they're looking at the longevity of the Brown contract more so than they are the next 2 years of the Paul George contract. Even though you're trading out age, the money is still really high for Paul George. Well, the money gets to $60 million for Jaylen Brown. And you can think whatever you think about Jaylen Brown. I thought some of the stuff that's come out has been laughable. 7th best player on any given team. The 88th best player. Like, those are obviously, that's got to be plants. Like, that's not real, right? And there's something involving soccer today that I want to talk about that I also think is not real, but we react to the not real stuff because that's society now. There's no way he is the 88th best player in the league. There just isn't. You cannot like him. You can think he's overpaid. If you have a brain and you watch basketball, he is easily not the 88th best player. So some of this stuff has been leaked the last few days, clearly to make Boston try to seem better, I think, even though their trade has been laughed at. The Blazer side of this is the report coming out, and you can believe it or you don't, the Blazer side is that, like, they view him as a net negative. That they never, and Quick told us this on the interview on Wednesday, and I for one was like, what? Blazers were never really in on him. And the odds and the noise was Blazers, Blazers, Blazers. Oh, my God, we're going to get Jaylen Brown. It's going to happen. And then Quick comes out. He's like, they were never really interested in him. And then other stories come out, net negative. What? Like, so analytics is interesting. That seems to be a big narrative in the league right now. It's okay to say, I believe in analytics, but also not every single analytic tells me the full story. I think you guys can find that there is a middle ground here, and you don't need to be super anti-analytics, and you also don't need to be so entrenched with it, you're Kenny Atkins, and saying, we're down 3-0, but we've technically been the better analytical team. And I'm sitting here going, and? What's that gotten you?
Exactly.
Down 0-3. Where's that gotten you? So, like, what are you telling me here? There is a middle ground here, and I'm sitting in the middle ground largely because teams are clearly using their analytics departments to make very important decisions. I don't know if I fully buy the whole net negative thing, but I do buy there's a version of that exists with Portland because there's no other reason to not go get Jaylen Brown. If that's the price tag, it's Tumani Kamara and some picks. That would have made sense to me. But no, they value Tumani Kamara. Well, why do they value Tumani Kamara? It's not his offensive game versus Jaylen Brown's. That's Jaylen Brown. It's not just the defense. I would say he is a better defender than Jaylen Brown, but Jaylen Brown is a good defender. He's fine. It's the money. Follow the money here, folks. Tumani Kamara's on an $82 million deal. What's Jaylen Brown? He's going to make 60, 63 in like 2 years. That's a bit of a problem for a lot of owners in the NBA. It's not just Tom Dundon. Oh, by the way, the league fired a bunch of people this weekend. Tom Dundon didn't fire a lot of people. The league did. Now, you could say, well, they're preparing for the Europe League, Sprig. And? Are they not a multi-billion dollar organization? I was told if you had billions of dollars, money shouldn't be a problem. You should just spend willingly. The league fired dozens of people this weekend. The league is telling you, oh, no, we're not ready to go crazy with the spending. The league is. Not the Blazers and Tom Dundon. He is cheap. I'm not excusing the behavior. Absolutely. Red card. But the league itself, other teams, the Knicks won the title. I'm like, we're good. We're going to get cheaper. The Celtics won the title 2 years ago. They traded away their finals MVP. Net negative. Yeah, net negative. What? You just were the 2 seed in the East with him as the lead. What are you talking about? The league itself is telling you they're getting cheaper, right? So the Blazers not going in on it and not putting Tumani Kamara in a trade for Jaylen Brown, a deal I would have done, they didn't want to do it financially because it doesn't make a lot of sense. I just don't think I buy the full net negative thing. It's okay to have context here. Analytics are good. They don't need to be completely crapped on, but also your plus minus can be tweaked depending on what you're doing, right? I was texting with somebody, and I don't. Maybe they'll share it. Maybe they won't. They were talking about Ja. Ja's plus minus is good. And it's like, yeah, because after Ja sits down, it's a tanking roster. So is Ja sitting going to make a tanking roster? Is that going to be a good thing? Boston, think whatever you want to think about Tatum Brown, and Brown is a 1 or a 1A, 1B, whatever. Like, think whatever you want. The roster wasn't awful. I made two pretty sizable bets last year in the preseason of dealings. One was the over of San Antonio wins, and the other was Boston because the system's good and the players are pretty good in the role spots. And I like Brown. I think Brown's a good basketball player. I think he's one of the best 15 basketball players in the league. Where you have him slotted, I don't really care, but I think that's where he's at. He's not 88th. It's ridiculous. So it's just fascinating to look from the analytics standpoint. You add the Blazers part of that equation and some of the noise involving them. Like, so if they're not going to get Trey Murphy, is this just about holding on to their assets? And I said this on Wednesday's show. I'll say it again. If they don't make a trade for Trey Murphy and they keep their draft picks from the Bucks and they sign whoever, I'm going to start to mentally believe that they're just going to do what the Blazers would do. Keep picks and use the picks because the league is getting young, the league is getting cheap, and those picks might be pretty valuable. I still can't tell the value of picks and the future of picks because of the lottery system. I don't think the league can either. That's just my opinion. But it also would be very Blazers to keep the picks and just say, hey, it's 2029. We're using a pick. Hey, thanks, Milwaukee. Ninth pick in the draft. How about that? And we go, remember when these picks were supposed to use for the all-in move? That's like, that would be so us to do that, would it not?
Yeah.
Hey, how about the 2030 mock draft? Coming up next, Jeremy Wu, ESPN. It's going to break it down. Who are the top 10 mocks in the 2030 draft? The Blazers got the Bucks pick. It's seventh. And we're going to go, God, there was a world. There was a time. We thought we were going to use these picks. So I sit here on the sixth being confused. Value, the league is telling me they're going cheap. Also, be right in line with Portland to go get low swing, high reward with Ja, and then also keep picks. Because why pay a ton of money to a team that isn't going to be better than San Antonio and Oklahoma City? Again, I disagree with some of this philosophy, but I think the league is kind of in a roundabout way. The Blazers included, God forbid we be wrong on this and we get Trey Murphy, I think they're kind of saying the same things right now. That's my takeaway as it all sits.
Yeah, just I think a very conservative approach, and I think a lot of fans kind of want just a slight bit more like of an aggressive approach.
We just thought this was the time or the place for it, and they're telling us, well, we're making an aggressive approach. It's just not the aggressive
approach.
And
that's kind of what we were talking about on Thursday, is that where can we for once kind of just flip that narrative and actually go get a player that we all know is good, except analytics, and actually have something to look forward to instead of playing these guessing games in July of, is this going to work?
No doubt.
And are these picks going to be worth it if we keep them?
Well, and the Ja trade and then the Denny trade, right?
Right.
Is that an overpay for Denny Avdia? Denny Avdia, all-star player, borderline all-NBA type guy, like really good. That worked out for them. I think they think Ja's going to work out for them. How's it work with 4-point guards? That's a different conversation. I don't know. Not great, Bob, if you don't address similar roster holes. I don't know if Rob Williams and Donovan Klingon are saving everything that you're trying to do here, but that so far has been
their
approach.
They will be the only ones grabbing rebounds. That's as far as I know right now.
Yeah. We'll get back into the Blazers with Eric Gunderson in the 9:05 hour. We got World Cup at the top of the hour. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 105.1.
Happy 250th birthday, America. I've decided to spend this semi-quincentennial as our founding fathers would have wanted me to. Checking out the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I know I can find everything from ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats and stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage to best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging storage, and those signature Bobopedic seats. Because nothing is more American than a sofa that's a bed and a library and a closet. So, if you want to join me in decking out your house with the finest affordable furniture this 4th of July, why not stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantastic. All right, welcome back in. Loaded third hour of the radio program right around the corner. Dirt and Sprague here hanging out. Dirt is out, so it's a Brandon and Brandon. A throwback to the Mike and Mike days of radio. We got a Brandon and Brandon situation. Does everybody call you Brandon, by the way, or do people call you by your last, like in your orbit of your life? I was talking about this. I was at a friend's. It was his kid's first birthday, so we went to a park. They had a big barbecue, and it was great. I got to catch up with some buddies I hadn't seen in a long time, and we had a conversation. This is not me, okay? I got a friend that has black Brandon. White Brandon.
Yep.
Now, only references me as Brandon in telling other people, but like usually everybody calls me by my last name. They don't usually say Brandon. So when I hear Brandon, I don't always respond to it. Kind of throws me off.
Right.
Do you have your last name being used the most or your first name being used the most?
First name.
So everybody calls you Brandon.
Yeah, it's kind of been Brandon and then a bunch of nicknames when I come across more Brandons type of situation.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've been called B-Dot. I've been called B. Henson for my last, like, kind of a first initial last
B-Dot,
name.
B-Dot, huh?
Yeah, B-Dot, just kind of, what else? I had a lot, there was a good period of time during college and into, like, my first job where I was called Breezy, because that was kind of, because I was a big Chris Brown fan. And so that was kind of the nickname that I chose for other people to use.
Okay.
And that kind of stuck for most of my broadcasting career up to this point.
So we didn't know. Nobody knew here that your nickname is Breezy.
Nobody knew.
So we should be calling you Breezy.
Yeah. I wanted to kind of push, just fade away a little
Why?
Bit from that. But unless we needed to use it.
Oh, okay.
We don't have to use it. But if we want to.
Okay.
Sure. I've always had this as like a magic hat topic eventually if we ever needed one of what should my nickname be? Because I feel like that's a radio type of deal that you have to not have to have a nickname, but it's kind of the deal with radio to have a nickname.
Hmm.
And especially with the two Brandon situation, it's like, oh, great. Well, here comes my nickname because I'm the new guy. And you can't be the original Brandon. You have to be the different
you
Brandon.
You can be Brandon. You can have it.
We've made it. Yeah. I think since you already get called by your last name, it's kind of worked for me to stay Brandon. But sometimes it's confusing for me because when Dirt calls you Brandon, then I jump and think it's me he's talking to and not you.
I don't think he calls me Brandon, though.
Sometimes he does.
Really?
Yeah. And I think it's just,
Tune him out when he does
maybe,
that.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, he's not talking to me. He's talking to Breezy over there.
So, yeah. So I've had a lot of different nicknames to go with. and I was also, you know, like you said, Black Brandon, White Brandon. That's kind of usually the first distinguishment.
Yeah. That's a pretty good, like, multicultural name, Brandon.
Yes.
It's used by a lot of different races.
Yes,
so
it is.
It's not the first time I've heard that. But we'll get into the World Cup coming up at 8 a.m. The Preezy of the Steezy has spoken about this, by the way.
Really?
We didn't get him trying to pronounce Balogun's name, which I was a little disappointed. I wanted to hear him try to say the name the way he did Tua.
Yeah.
Tua. We didn't get that, but he did basically, I'm paraphrasing, but he goes, you know, that ref, he's got a history. Not a great history, but I won't say what it is. But I could tell you what it is, but I don't want to create controversy. It's like, you're creating controversy right now. What are you doing? You're not just a reality star, dude. You're the president of the United States.
Yeah.
We'll get into the World Cup. Jake Zimmern will join us at 8:27. Somebody said they land Rui on the poll question on Twitter. If they land Rui, give it a B. Some people just saying, got to sign Rui on the mid-level and or trade for a dude. I don't disagree with any of the takes. Fan text line coming in. This team is banking on internal growth, but this team is largely not getting better and going anywhere.
Right.
I think that's the most universal opinion we're going to have. If all they do is sign vet men, like somebody asked who, it's like, does it matter if they sign them to a vet minimum contract? If I told you a team signed somebody to the vet men, not named LeBron James, would you care?
Not really.
Right, because you'd go, well, they're on a minimum for a reason.
Right.
Right? Again, league's getting cheaper. So that doesn't matter to me. If they sign somebody to a vet min, that's it. They're done. This is the team with the new addition. If they don't make that trade, they don't do the Rui stuff, I think a lot of people are going to – all my point is to tell you that, like, you should mentally be ready for this team to be done.
Yeah.
Now, if they make the move – and they go get Rui, and he's like, you know, actually, I want that mid-level money. I'm good with that. Cool. Like, sign me the F up. I'm stoked if they get Rui. I want a Hachimura Blazer uniform. I think that'd be dope.
I think he would fit in really well.
I do, too. I think he'd be really good for their spacing. I just think a guy's a basketball player.
Right.
There are guys I don't need to look up their analytics. You just say, like, Rui Hachimura, that's a good basketball player. I want that dude on my team. I don't know what all his analytics say, but I know he shot 44% from three. He shoots four attempts per game. Like, can we up that to five, five and a half, six, like whatever that average would be? I just want him to get another good basketball player, not a vet minimum contract, and then tell me 4 point guards can work.
Right.
And I think they're gonna lose a lot of people. People will sign up to watch it because it's like, whoa, this is the team? What is this? But I do think you're gonna lose a lot of people of like legitimately buying or believing that your team got better and or this was the right decision to make. In what is already a loaded Western Conference that's entirely big. And now you're all point guards.
Right.
So, and we don't even know how many minutes Donovan's going to average. Is Rob Will going to stay as healthy as he did last year? I mean,
yeah,
these are
that's
all.
That's a big question.
These are all wild cards, right? Young Hansen's going to have to play real center minutes if Rob Will goes down. I don't know how much summer league I'm going to watch, but is he going to dominate? What was that? Has he played yet? I haven't even seen if he's played. Has the Blazers played a summer league game?
I don't think so, not yet.
Okay, well, like, what's he going to average in summer league to make me think he's actually going to do something in year two? Like, there's just a lot of questions, and I don't think you're going to have people feeling very hopeful about what it all is going to be if all you're really introducing is Ja Morant. And right. You're like, hey, we got smaller, less defense. So it's tough. You may have always thought you were never going to be better than San Antonio, Oklahoma City, and I don't blame you for the thought, but I still would like to see the team try to get better. And right now, as they sit, I don't believe they have gotten that. They've gotten some talent, sure, but I don't know how 4-point guards with Shaedon Sharpe as your fifth guard, how all that's going to work out in the loaded Western Conference. All right, we'll pivot out of this. We'll talk about it with Gundy coming up at 9. We kick off hour 3, a false narrative being shared and World Cup fever, dude. World Cup fever, 5 o'clock, USA, Belgium. We'll dive into it. Hour 3, 105.1 The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.